Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Cody Byrne, pastor of Tribes Church, and welcome to our podcast. I wanted to take a moment and just thank you so much for joining us, for taking the time. And hey, I really pray that this time encourages you, inspires you, and challenges you. Enjoy the message.
Come on.
Hey, y'all, would you turn to your neighbors, you take a seat, and say, are you looking for love? You're like, I'm not going to say that, sir, but I'm not going to say that. Well, y'all, I say this every week, but to be here with you all, Sunday has quickly become my favorite day. Anybody else? Come on. I really believe that this is the start of the week, so we are not going out after this to begin. It's beginning now. I believe God wants to start us fresh and really rejuvenate us, really speak to us tonight. Hey, I wanted to just kind of start the night tonight. I know that for so many of you, maybe this is your first time to Tribes. We've only been going officially for about 6 months now. So we're still a baby in that sense, but man, we're seeing God show up, seeing God move. And if you just look around, y'all, this is just a testament to the faithfulness of God. This was once just a thought, and we are so, so excited for all he's doing. Hey, y'all, we've been in this series called The Way of Love. Anybody been coming the last 5 weeks? Anybody been getting a lot out of that, out of this? I know I have. Preparing this, I'm like, oh, snap, this is for me too. Come on. But hey, as we continue in this series, we have 2 weeks left, including tonight. So good news is, bad news is it's ending next week. Good news is my wife Chantel is preaching next week. Woo! Y'all, she's a gun. She is an absolute weapon. It's 2021. Can I say that? A gun? Sorry. She's great. She's sharp and amazing. Very prophetic, very, very powerful. And you're in for a treat, so come back. She's way better than I am, so let's go. Praise God. We're better together, and she helps me a lot. So thank you, Chantel. She's watching the children. So when you see her and everyone else watching the kids, just thank them. Man, thank them for all they're doing. Thank the team, y'all. I mean, this is a joint effort. If you see someone with the yellow badge, just say thank you, because they work so hard to build this. They work so hard to serve you. And so anyways, y'all, we are excited. Tonight, we are diving in as we continue in this series. I really want to encourage you. I know that this is there's some hunger in the room. If there's something that's responding to you, man, you can stand up, you can shout, you can do what you need to do. I really believe that as we respond together, that not only is it something that we can do that it helps build our own faith, but we're actively learning, responding to what God is saying, leaning in. We have this posture we like to say that we like to lean in, meaning we like to lean forward, that we're hungry, man. We're desperate for word, that we believe that this time isn't to hear some guy talk to you about some thoughts, that we're hearing the very word of God and believing that God is speaking to us. So if you're here, welcome. If you're first time, welcome. If you're second, third, fourth, 200th time, that's not even possible because we're 6 months old. Welcome. Welcome. Hey, we are all looking for love. Some of y'all, I think I saw some people moving around. During that, you're like, oh, Sade, right? You're going that way. You're like, man, hold up. Okay, I'm going to go. Hey, I think I can hear better over here. You know, mind if I take a seat? But we've been looking for love, all of us. The truth is, my friends, we are looking for love. You know, and so often we are looking for that in relationships. Now, we've been spending the past few weeks diving into God's word, 1 Corinthians 13, really in this series, just the way of love. Just what is love? The world talks about it. The world seeks after it. Culture, society. I mean, we all have this desire to be loved, to experience love, to express love. But what is love? So we've been going through, we've talked about the Greeks had 4 words to describe love. We only have 1 word to describe love. So in 1 word, we could say, I really love tacos. And then in the next breath, say, I love Jesus. Right? It's like, it's hard to, what is love? It's like, I love tacos, but I also love the God of the universe, right? It can be simple, it can be deep, but we only have 1 way to say love, but the Greeks have 4. So it's agape, which is, we've learned the first week, it's the highest, most selfless, unconditional type of love. It's almost like my daughter and my son, we were making bracelets the other day. And it's almost like agape love is like that band, that string that keeps the bracelet together. It is the highest form of love. It is what brings love together. There is phileo, which is brotherly love, right? That message, why can't we be friends? Right? It's this friendship love. We also have storge, which is family love. We had talked about the father's heart last week. And then today we are talking about eros, y'all. Eros. I don't know if some of y'all have been waiting for this. We're talking all about dating, sex, love today. So you came for the conversation, but we are excited, man. I'm really expectant for tonight. I really believe that God's given me a heart almost to just take a slice of culture and to just hold it up into the light. Let's take a biopsy. Let's look at what we're experiencing and take it to the Word of God and see how we are called as followers of Jesus to look for love. We're called to experience love. Before I continue, I really want to make it clear who I'm communicating to tonight. If you're not a believer, someone raise their hand automatically. It's me. Yes. I love it. I love the transparency. We're a raw altar. Yeah. Come on. I really want to make it clear. If you do not know Jesus and you are here, or you are listening, or you will listen in the future, this message isn't necessarily geared toward you specifically. There are truths that I believe you need to hear. There is an invitation. I believe that if you are here and you are not a follower of Jesus, I want you to consider the way of love. I want you to consider what Jesus has done. I want you to consider what a life of love under the stewardship and the lordship of Jesus Christ looks like. So if that's you, man, listen, consider what Jesus says about himself, about sexuality, about love, about romance, about relationships. But if you are in this room and you are a follower of Jesus, this is most definitely for you. So this is for you. I believe that so many of us, even in this room, we've grown up. I know in the church, sex is almost like this taboo thing. Like I said, and y'all are like, oh, I'm not ready, right? Like we have the, maybe, I don't know if you've grown up, maybe it's been talked about in a really crass way or in a crude way, or maybe it wasn't talked about at all. And so I really aim y'all to just go to the Word of God. I aim to speak about this topic with the best of my ability, to speak with integrity, respect, and honor to the way that God has designed and created this. So I really believe y'all lean into this. If you are a follower of Jesus, I believe tonight this message can change your life. I believe for others, it will give you language to connect the dots of the questions you've been having. For others, it's really going to challenge you and to point you into, maybe you've been sliding, backsliding, maybe wandering. God's going to call you back. Hey, let's get back on the straight and narrow. I believe that no matter where you are, single, married, perhaps there's been breakups or whatever orientation you consider yourself to be a part of. I just believe, y'all, that God's going to speak tonight. And so I want to go in. I'm excited. I'm really fired up for this. And so here we are. I'm going to be real. Are you guys cool with that? Yeah. Okay. That's the only way I know. So let's go. But I want to start with this, y'all. That sex specifically in the context, eros. Eros is the Greek word to describe this sexual, passionate love. That it is the way that they describe romance and intimacy. And I don't know if you know this, but we are sexual creatures. God actually designed us to have sex. I don't know if you're like, what? Are you for real? I have to tell you that God has designed humanity to be sexual. That he has created you with desires, with abilities, with things that you desire to grow in with the person that he has led you to. You know, but I think that we really need to talk about this because our culture is talking about it. Our culture is almost taking this design, this God-given desire, and the enemy's perverting it, twisting it, making a profit off of it. So we're going to have an honest conversation tonight all about this, looking for love. If you're in John chapter 4, if you have your Bible, open up to John chapter 4. We're going to be diving into an encounter that Jesus has with a Samaritan woman. Looking for love. Y'all ready? Nah, you're like, I don't know about this. As a kid, I hated boundaries. Anybody? Like, I'm not a kid. I still hate boundaries. I hated them. I was so, like, it's just this, like, spirit of rebellion in me or something. I mean, as my mom would say, hey, don't cross the street. I would cross the street. Hey, don't hang out with those, you know, people. They're bad influence. I would hang out with those types of people. Hey, don't say that to your sister. I would say that and some. Well, I hated boundaries. It's something that in me I just wanted, almost not even often to cross the line, but kind of to go up. How far can I get? How far can I go? How far can I push the envelope? You know, I hated boundaries, my friends, but I have to tell you, boundaries are good for us. Boundaries are actually very, very good for us. You know, I don't know if you're aware, but God had created, in Genesis chapter 1, he created everything. The Bible starts by introducing us to God, not as just Savior or Lord, but as Creator. And I believe that just from the very beginnings of our origin, to understand that God is Creator, we need to understand that him being Creator means that he has the authority, means that he has created and designed things for a specific purpose. So as much as we may not like boundaries, I have to tell you, y'all, that the stars have boundaries, that the oceans have boundaries, that my hairline has boundaries. You ever think about that? You ever look at me like, man, I'm so glad my hairline doesn't just like go all the way down my body. Right? Or think about your nail beds. They don't just go all the way down your fingers, right? There's boundaries. You're like, this is deep. I know. I just noticed that my fingers are crooked too, but I've never broken them. So thanks God, and you made me all messed up. This is what I lay awake at night. Just, how come my hairline doesn't go? Creator, God, boundaries. I'm going to preach on it. But the stars have boundaries. Genesis 1, God says this. Verse 14, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Boundary. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Boundaries. Limited to time. Let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. Boundaries. And it was so, we're told. God made the two great lights, the greater light, the sun to rule the day, the lesser light, the moon to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens. And God saw that it was good. Psalm 8:3, the psalmist says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Y'all, creation has boundaries. We are creatures that are benefited by boundaries. Like there's things that the creation was carefully and meticulously designed. Not just the oceans and the trees. I mean, think about this. Why don't trees just grow up to be skyscrapers? You know, like what if the oceans were like, I want to be like the land, and they, you know, had a riot and they went on, you know what I mean? What if it's like my daughter, like that's a dumb illustration. That's my brain. My daughter, that's great, thank you. My daughter, this morning, she's like, Daddy, I want some milk. And I'm like, okay, let me get your cup. Any other parents, you can never find your kids' cups? Oh my goodness, just me? Okay. I don't know where they put them. I buy like four of them and they lose them. But my daughter gets a water bottle and she puts milk in a water bottle. And I'm like, it's not designed for that. Like, you're going against the boundary. I'm getting all twisted and upset. But boundaries are important, my friends. That we are designed to have boundary, that they are good for us. And I remember being so mad at my parents, even my daughter. She was upset. I wouldn't let her put milk in a water bottle. You know, I wouldn't let her, you know, she's running in the parking lot. No, stay here. This is the line. Do not cross. It's for your own good. I would get so upset with my parents. You hate me. You don't want me to have any fun. You're just restricting me. Anybody remember being so angry? I wrote under my desk. I wrote, my mom is stupid. But I was great. I spelt it STOOPID. You know what I'm saying? I mean, need I say more? But I think we can get so upset that we're in boundaries, that there is design, that there are limits. See, y'all, in the beginning, God didn't just create the moon and the stars and the oceans and the animals and the vegetation. He created humanity. We've been talking about this. We go back to the beginning because to understand now, we gotta look back. God created humanity, created family, created friendship. He created and designed intimacy. He created sex. This isn't like something the devil of the world came up with. God created sex. He created pleasure. He created romance. Like, that's something that we think like, that's of the devil. That's of the world. It's like God created it, y'all. Could it be that what we're seeing in our world is just a distortion of what was designed to be good, designed to be holy, designed to be blessed? You know, I think a lot of us now, maybe even in the church, maybe at times, we can view God as this angry, out to get you, right? Like, yeah, I don't want you to have any fun. Don't cross the street. Don't put milk in a water bottle, or so help me, right? We think that God is just pointing the finger vindictive out to get us, just this random presence in the sky. And so therefore, maybe we come to the conclusion that he doesn't care about us, that he doesn't love us or isn't present in our lives or doesn't want us to have anything good. But see, y'all, I think that we've been talking about this. So many of us can be in the Father's house, but we can misunderstand the Father's heart. That we may be in the church, may be in the house, but we don't know our Father's heart. That we think that he's out to get us and restrictive, but what if God has just put boundaries in place, not to harm us, but to help us, to benefit us? So God created these things. He created sex. He created your sex desire. He created you with the ability to have sex. But he also created sex to be in the proper boundaries that he had set in place. So he tells us this, Genesis chapter 1. We're told, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Genesis 2, 21 through 24, the Lord God causes Adam to sleep. He takes a rib out of Adam, creates woman. And it says in the verse, he says that he made into a woman and brought her to the man. The man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So we're introduced to this word, eros, romantic, sexual, passionate love, intimate love. But I have to tell you, my friends, that the only time that that word is used in the Bible is in the Old Testament book of the Song of Solomon. And it is in direct reference. That word, sexual, passionate, intimate love, is only used biblically in the context of a covenantal marriage between a man and a woman. This is the boundary that God has set in place. So within the proper boundaries that God has established, sex is beautiful. It's good, it's holy, it's blessed. So yet again, as we've been mentioning, there is an attack against that which God has created. That there is a very attack against the goodness of God. So looking for love, John chapter 4, I want to read this passage of scripture to you. I really believe, y'all, this is a word. But we see in this encounter, we see this woman, a Samaritan woman, perhaps you know this story. But this Samaritan woman, she goes to a well in the heat of the day. I'm just gonna give you a little bit of context. So as we dive in, I gotta get going. We're running out of time. But this Samaritan woman, she has been, as we'll read, she's been in five marriages, five relationships. In the Jewish context, when you were married, obviously in our context as well, there is the implication that you are being intimate, that you are connecting as one flesh. This woman has been in that space five times. And we're told that she is also in a current relationship where she is living with a man who is not her husband. So she's had five marriages, and now she is in another relationship. We see that this woman, probably because of her background, is perhaps considered some sort of social, marginalized, outcast, rejected, despised, looked down on member of society. The women of this time, they would go to the well. The well was kind of like the food court at the mall. It was like the public space. You would go and you would socialize and meet, you would get water. So the woman is going there, not in the morning or the evening in the cool of the day where the other women would go, but she is going at noon, at lunchtime in the heat of the day. Theologians believe that this is probably because of her reputation, being maybe promiscuous, maybe being marginalized and maybe being questionable, a questionable character, making questionable decisions. And so she is here at the well. You could say she's been looking for love. Looking for love. There's a lot of nuance to this, so I'm not going to try and pretend like I understand why she got divorced, why the marriage, was there a death, was it this or that, was there adultery? All we know is that this woman is currently at a well, and based on this encounter she has with Jesus, she's deeply unsatisfied. She is looking for love. She is searching. We're going to see this encounter here. Looking for love, John chapter 4. I want to read this passage here to you. We'll have it for you up on the screens. Just for time's sake, I'm going to jump to verse 7. It says, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? I'm told in parentheses, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that it is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, hear this, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. If you're taking notes, first thing is this, convenience or commitment. Convenience or commitment. This woman, we've set the scene, social outcast coming here. Jesus says, hi, ma'am, can I have a drink? She says, are you crazy? Who are you to ask me? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know my reputation? Don't you know? You're not supposed to be talking to me. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. There was bad blood. But here we see the God of the universe, Jesus, sitting down at this well, asking this woman for a drink. They have this incredible conversation. Jesus says, hey, I got something for you that will quench your thirst. You've been thirsty. You've been looking for love. I got something for you that will never run dry. You don't have to look any further, Jesus is saying. And so she says, okay, give it to me so that I won't get thirsty and I won't have to come back here again. In other words, all right, what you're saying is going to make my life easier. Just give it to me. If it's going to make my life any easier, I want it. I want it. You know, I think convenience is something that, if we're being honest, we're all looking for. We're looking for easier. We're looking for cheaper. We're looking for a discount. We're looking for a deal. We're looking for something that's more convenient on our time, on our pocketbook, on our mental health. We just want it easier, don't we? You know, I think if I'm being honest, when we moved here, I mean, we didn't have a lot, y'all. We sold everything, came in 6 duffel bags. And we showed up, and to this day, this is more choice now, but we don't have like our one mixing bowl in the house is a rice pot, you know? So everything, it's like pancakes in there, eggs in there. It works, right? Minimalist, praise Jesus, right? not by choice. But we went to Kmart I love Kmart. Anybody else love Kmart? Praise Jesus. It's funny, in America, Kmart's not that hot. Target's like hot. It's like, whoa. But here, Kmart's like hot and Target's like on the up and up, you know? So it's just a little different in America. But anyways, Kmart is great. We bought these pans to cook with, and we thought we were being convenient, getting a deal. So we bought like just a cheap, you know, $20 pan. And at the time, it seemed great, but now it's been about 2 years, and we've bought about 5 pans. It's good for a moment, isn't it? I spent $20. It was convenient. It was great, but over time, you're actually spending more. Instead of investing now, instead of making a commitment now, I'm going to spend $150. I'm going to get something that's going to last. I'm going to make a commitment. We are more concerned with a convenient moment than a committed moment. That we are more concerned with what's going to be easier for me now instead of what's going to be better for me over a period of time. And she says, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't have to come back." I think if we're being honest, some of us want to follow Jesus because we just want an easier life. We just want less stress. We just want more blessing. We just want, right, we're on a quest for a spouse. If I just serve and show up and be in the house, God will bring it. Come on, you know, like we're looking for love. We want it easy. We want it quickly, man. We're constantly told in society, have it your way, right? Do what you want. Forget the boundaries. You want it now. You know, you look great in this now. Afterpay, just get it now. You don't got to pay for it. I mean, you can do it now. You can get credit now. You can get it now, now. It's all about convenience. And my frustration is that we, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are bringing this convenient, self-centered mentality into a relationship with the Most High. That we are saying, God, I want it my way. I want it now. I want it easy. We want it now, now, now. Convenience, convenience, convenience. You know, it's easier for us, my friends, to follow a created thing than it is to follow the Creator. Meaning it's easier for us at times to follow what we can see than to follow what we can't see. You know, I'm reminded in Exodus, Moses, y'all know Moses? The man. He goes up to Mount Sinai to meet with God. The people of Israel are there and Moses leaves. And they, at one point, I'm paraphrasing, they say, Moses is gone. Essentially, we can't see God anymore. We can't, where is God gone? He's left us. I know what we'll do. Let's make an idol. Bring all your jewelry. Let's make a golden calf and worship that instead. Woo, come on, idolatry. We love it, don't we? It's convenient that it's easier for us to follow things that we can see, maybe things that are more convenient to us in the moment instead of this commitment. Y'all, what I'm getting at is that we are bringing this convenient mentality into our sex lives. That instead of waiting, instead of trusting, we are wanting what's convenient now to fulfill whatever desires we have. That we are looking for, yeah, give it to me now so that I won't have to be thirsty again. I just want this and I don't want to wait. Are we making commitments, y'all? Are we just following convenience? You know, if you're single and you're in the place and you're frustrated and you're like, God, where's my spouse? Or do you love me? And maybe, let's be honest, maybe there's a lot of frustrations in this area. And you're just like, man, I'm 30 now. God, are you bringing my spouse? Or maybe you're in the place and you're 15 and you're like, man, everyone in my friend group's having sex. And I'm bombarded by all this sexualization of culture. You can't even get on Instagram, man, without seeing something. It's like, it's everywhere. Advertisers, we've associated food with sex. It's like, oh my gosh, man, we're in this hyper-sexualized culture. And we're constantly pushed, man, it's convenient. Just do it now. It's good. Do it now. My question for us is, are we following convenience or are we making commitments? Are we saying, God, I believe that your way is better. I believe that you've created boundaries. I believe, right, if you're a follower of Jesus and you have submitted your life under the lordship of Jesus, means that we are called to a higher standard, that we are called to obey God, to pursue God in the way of love, to build commitments, not convenience, to follow His way, His way, His way. The way of us is convenience, right? The way of love is commitment. So convenience costs you in the long run, right? You may get it cheap now and get a deal now, but over time, perhaps are we even as Christians coming back to the well? Are we just finding ourselves back at this place? Man, I thought that I was gonna be satisfied. I thought that it was gonna look differently. I thought that it wouldn't be this way, but are we thirsty? Are we thirsty and not satisfied? You know, my friends, there's this heavy attack that is happening, not just on us now through social media and television, but there's an attack on our children. You know, the Bible says in Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, it says, do not awaken love before its time. I'm going to be real with y'all, okay? We're going here. When I was a child, there were things that happened that I experienced, man. I was exposed to pornography when I was 10. I'd gone through some things. Man, I'm sorry. It gets me. It's frustrating because there was things that were taken from me, things that were taken from you. And here we are. Here I was, this little boy, now awoken to this sexualized culture. My innocence lost. Things happening, and I'm just like, now I'm growing up in this not only hypersexualized culture, but now there's things in me that are awake that aren't supposed to be awake. It's not time. There's a reason that God has set boundaries in place. And we think that God wants to restrict us. He wants to be close to us. Don't cross the road. Why? You hate me. He doesn't want you to get hit by a car. Don't run with that crowd. Why? They're my friends. They say nice things to me. They're going to lead you to a life of destruction. Do we trust God? He's not just Savior. He's Father. He's your dad. He cares about you. My goodness. I don't know about y'all. Maybe there's some things that have been awoken in you. Maybe similar stories. Maybe things. Maybe you're struggling right now with pornography. Or maybe in the house you're a believer, but you're struggling with sexual dreams or urges or temptations. Maybe you've had sex. Maybe you've gone there. I want to tell you, my friend, Jesus, He knew that this lady had been walking through things, but I have to tell you, He still came to her. He still came to her. And I have to tell you, my friends, no matter what we've walked in, no matter what we are carrying or experienced, Jesus has too come to you. Second thing is this. Sex is a gift, not God. Sex is a gift, not God. Verse 16, Jesus says to her, go call your husband and come here. So essentially, hey, I know I'm straining the conversation here. I mean, I'm a Jew, you're a woman. Jewish rabbis wouldn't even talk to their wives in public. Try that today? No, thank you. I'm gonna acknowledge you. But men wouldn't even say hi. The Pharisees had a nickname, the bruised and bleeding Pharisees. Because they'd see a woman walking, they would close their eyes. And they would just run into walls and get all bloody noses and black eyes. Because they didn't want to say hi to a woman in public. Jesus says this, go and get your husband and come here. Like, let's further this conversation. The woman says, I have no husband. Jesus says, you're right. You've had five, and now the one that you are with is not your husband. The woman then changes the subject like a deflection, like a smokescreen. She says, sir, check this out. Verse 19, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. I love it. It's the word of God. Sir, I can tell you know everything. Let me ask you this then. You almost sense, we don't know the tone or the inflection, but you almost get this sense of like, oh, okay, that's how it's gonna be. Then let me ask you a prophetic question, Mr. Prophet. She says this in verse 20, our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. So notice, Jesus goes from looking for love relationships. There's this intimacy that she's been involved with, this backstory, this life, perhaps this reputation. Her first question is, where do I worship? Where do I worship? Who do I worship? Who do I worship? Where do I, you Jews say that I need to worship. Essentially, where do I worship? Prophet? Where do I worship? I think it's just interesting. I believe that there is a correlation here, that this woman who has been looking for love, who has been in these relationships, who is coming back to this place trying to satisfy, that her question reveals her deepest desire. Who and what do I worship? In other words, who and what has my heart, my devotion, my attention, my affection? When we worship God, we are turning our attention to Him. It's not me. It's not my neighbor. I am worshiping you. I am giving you everything of me. It's my life, my heart, my being, my desires. It's all yours. You know, the reason that the devil got kicked out of heaven was because he wanted God to worship him. He says, I will be like the Most High. I will. Oh, I will. Worship me, right? It's all of these statements. I think if we're being honest, the depth of us, we're all looking for something to worship. We all have this desire to worship. So the problem we run into isn't necessarily that we have, you know, these desires and this sex drive, or that we have this ability to have sex, or this wanting to. I don't believe the issue is in of the desire itself. The issue is what we are pursuing to fulfill that desire. So here it is. God made sex to be a gift, not your God. If we're not careful, we can turn this desire into our worship. In other words, we can turn it into an idol. We can be so consumed with this desire, with this thought, that we are so leaning toward this specific attraction that then becomes our orientation. And we are worshiping and desiring and pursuing these things. And no matter what I want, or no matter what I'm feeling, I'm going to do what I need to do to fulfill that desire. So I don't want you to think that you having a sex drive or sexual desires is sinful in of itself, because it's not. God put it there. The fact that you have that proves that it works. The problem is that we are operating outside of the boundaries that God has set. The problem is that we are not waiting, we are not trusting God, that if God made it and God wants to bless it and honor it, and that actual covenantal marriage, sex between one man and one woman, actually brings glory to God, that is the boundary. There's like I said, an attack. The devil has distorted this. He's twisted it. People are making a profit off of this gift. People are in bondage because of this gift. You know, something like 3,000 people, or $3,050, something like that, about $3,000 is spent on porn every second. That about 86%, I believe, of Australians are involved in this environment. So we need to have this conversation, because we need to understand that it is a gift and not God. That we may be wondering, what do I worship? How do I worship? And so we begin to pursue this. We begin to fall into this temptation. We have these things that are awoken at a young age, out of its season, out of its time. And now we're kind of just left scrambling. What do I do with this? Can I talk about it? Can we talk about it in the church? Am I going to be shunned? Is it back if I go to a pastor or someone and say, man, I'm having these urges. Am I going to be thrown out on the street? Who do I talk about? Is it okay that I'm struggling with this attraction to this type of person? Can we talk about that? Or no, you're sin. It's sinful. It's bad. Yo, I just got to, we're at church. We're going to talk. We're going to have conversations. No matter what you're walking through, I believe Jesus is still going to come and meet you. That Jesus is still going to step into your world. The Bible says he had to go to Samaria. That this woman, looking for love, he had to go and meet her. And that's the church that we're going to be. that we are going to go and we're going to still meet people in different orientations, different backgrounds. I got to tell you, friends, love isn't just affirming everything. Love isn't just success. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, love is saying, hey, come in. There's a God in heaven who loves you. His name is Jesus. I'm going to have a conversation with you. I'm going to talk to you with respect and humanity. You're an image bearer as well. Yeah, I feel led to go here. We get so caught up, right, about homosexuality. We get so caught up about it that everyone focuses in on it. Oh, that's the sin, it's the sin. But y'all, you know what's on the list as well? Alcoholism, jealousy, murder. You know, in Leviticus, there's 19 sexual sins. One of them is homosexual. 17 of them are heterosexual, and one involves animals. So I just got to tell you, if you're in the room and you are struggling with same-sex attraction or orientation, I want to tell you, we love you. We're going to have a conversation with you. I don't want to push you out on the street. I want to sit down and have a meal with you. I want to talk to you. I believe Jesus would still step into your world and love you and have a conversation with you. I believe that so many of us, no matter our orientation or our leaning, that we can be so bound with this idolatry. You know, I think if I'm being honest, for so long I was exposed to this. I was exposed to pornography. And for so long it was just like, all right, if I don't think about it, or if I, you know, put up the passcodes, or if I, let's just be honest, if we just do all of these things, then I won't deal with it anymore. The Lord had revealed this to me, and I was sitting outside my office. And he gave me the language for it recently, but it was healed, praise the Lord, years and years ago. Thank you, Jesus. He can do it, y'all. He can set you free. Come on. But I was looking out on my fence, and there was some spider webs. And I never saw what was making them, but there was just this spider web. And the rain would fall, and, you know, after days, the spider webs would go away, and it would look, you know, clean. And, you know, I say safe because I don't like spiders. But then I'd come back, and then the spider web was there again. And I think a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can just be getting rid of the cobwebs, but not dealing with the spider. There's an author, his name's Carlos Whitaker. He wrote a book called "Kill the Spider." It's brilliant language. Essentially, it's the same thought. We could be dusting off cobwebs all day, but if we're not killing the spider, then the root isn't healed. It's not done. So some of us maybe are struggling with attractions, orientations, pornography. We are dealing with these things, and perhaps we've just been medicating the symptom and not going after the root. Maybe we've just been doing things that we're thinking are healing us, but man, we're just dusting off the shelf, so to speak. We're just getting rid of the cobweb. Here was the revelation God gave me, is that I wasn't just looking at this gift, I was looking at it as God. That I had made an idol in my heart, that there was a spider buried in there somewhere and I wasn't confessing. I wasn't letting the Lord into the 5% of my heart. Some of us may give God 95%. But it's the 5%, y'all. It's the 1%. I know this is a big conversation, but I know the Lord, as a church, we need to be real about this, y'all. There are too many marriages. There are too many children being swayed. There are too many, man, the pornography is abusing, and there's human trafficking, and this gift of sex has become something that is now perverted, distorted. It's used to exploit. We're not a church that shies away, my friend. We're going to have this conversation. It is a gift. It is not God. Let's be careful. Our world idolizes it. Our world is obsessed with it. But here we are at the well again, at the well again. Are you thirsty? Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you looking for love? Are you looking for love? So much to talk about. Maybe we'll need to do another conversation another time. But here's the last thing. Love is looking for you. Friend, I got to tell you, you may be looking for love, but I have to say, love is looking for you. Love is looking for you. Some of you are at the well currently. Some of you keep coming back with your bucket. And you keep trying to draw and you're thinking, okay, maybe this is going to be it. Maybe this will satisfy me now. Maybe it's a new relationship. Maybe it's a secret habit that you're holding on to. Maybe it's something that is trying to satisfy this desire. And so even in the church, y'all, perhaps you're just carrying this bucket back and forth. Maybe this is the time. Maybe just one more time, and then I'll be good. I got this. Just one more. One more night. One more look. Then I'll be good. But you keep coming back and back and back and back. Friends, I think this is the most beautiful realization. And this is what separates Christianity from any other worldview. Is that there is a God who didn't just tell us he loves us, but there is a God who actually came to us. That in all of our mess, all of our confusion, all of my brokenness, all of my wandering, all of my pushing the boundaries and promiscuity, and yes, things happened to me, but I have to tell you, y'all, I responded. I made decisions. I'm not going to stand up here and say I'm just a victim of this. And I made decisions too. No matter what I chose to do or engaged in, Jesus came to me. The book of Revelation says that we overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That is the blood of Jesus. And it's my story. It's your story, that we have a story to tell. This woman meets Jesus looking for love. He says, I've got this water. You won't have to ever come back again. Oh, it's just convenient. Give it to me. And Jesus says this, I have to tell you. He says, I tell you, verse 21, believe me, an hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, but we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Here it is. But the hour is coming and is now here when this true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, all right, well, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus says this, I who speak to you am he. So it's convenience. Right? There's this invitation, y'all. Not convenient Christianity, but committed Christianity. I'm going to wait. If you're single, even if you've had sex, I got to tell you, God can make all things new. I got to tell you, even if you're single, you're believing, even if you're engaged, if you turn to the Lord and say, Jesus, forgive me, help me, heal me, I believe you can go into your wedding night a new creation. The marriage bed can still be clean. It can still be pure. It can still be holy and blessed because Jesus is that kind of God, that he can make all things new. If you're single and you're in this place, be careful what you're allowing to get your attention. Be careful what you're allowing to come into your mind. Your eyes and your ears, y'all, are the ways into your mind. What you watch, what you listen to, be careful. Because you are allowing things into your heart. Subliminally, willfully. Be careful who you associate with, meaning who you hang out with. Yes, we're called to go after and to love and to serve, but be careful who you are allowing influence you. I feel led to tell you this. If you're young and single and you're looking at someone as a project, I'm strong enough, I can influence them, I'm going to bring them to church, be careful. I found, my friends, I was never strong enough to influence anyone. I was never strong enough to be like, yeah, I have this savior complex. Y'all, I always ended up going to where I shouldn't have gone. So here it is. Here's the heart. I need you to understand. This is the heart. It's not restriction. It's not God's just telling you that if you don't do it this way, you're bad or you're sinful or wicked. I have to tell you, friends, it's the Father's heart. And our response then, it goes from what can I get away with to what can I get away from? That, man, I'm running from sexual immorality. That, man, I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to protect my mind and my heart. I just believe, God, that you have something great for me. And I don't want to go where I shouldn't. You know, it goes from this restriction to this reverence that, God, you are holy. God, you are almighty. You are creator. That you hold everything in your hands, the Bible says. That you created this as a gift. I'm not going to worship the gift. I'm going to worship you. It's the heart, my friend. God doesn't want to restrict you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to flourish your life. So we have to be careful, because the world is saying that if you love them or if you're committed, then just have sex. But my question to you is, if that's how you're living, then maybe ask yourself this question: why am I back at the well? Why am I back here? Why am I back here? Could it be that you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord? Could it be that you've just been worshiping with spirit but not truth? Now, 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to shut this down. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, that love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus, God, speaks to the heart, to our heart of worship. It's not spirit, it's both. It's spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit of God and his holy word. That is love. That we are not looking to what culture says and saying, yep, that's blessed, so I'm going to pursue that. We are looking to the word of God. God, you made it. God, you designed it. I am created, not creator. And I'm going to surrender my life. I'm going to give you my heart. So this woman, with all that she's been through, Jesus comes to her, no matter what she's done, and she is so compelled, y'all, I want you to understand this, she is so compelled by the fact that this man came and talked to her, that this man came and looked at her with love and compassion, that this man came and offered her something that maybe all she had heard was marriage and what come here and let's stay the night. Perhaps, I don't know the depth of her background, but perhaps all she's heard from people was of how they could use her or get them to do something for her or to benefit themselves. And here Jesus asks her, he offers her something that is far beyond the physical. He offers her this living water. She is so compelled by this that we're told a few verses later that she literally drops her bucket and she runs to the village to tell everyone about what just happened. I think it's a bucket dropping moment tonight, my friends. I believe so many of you tonight, there needs to just be a drop of the bucket. You've been coming back to this well. Perhaps it looks like letting go of the spider, killing the spider, the pornography of maybe the idolatry, maybe the things, the expectations, even the things that you've been having in your heart, maybe the fantasies or the things that you've been doing. I believe that God is saying, hey, there's more. There's more. Drop the bucket. I've got living water for you. I've got something that can satisfy, something that can heal, that will never run dry. So would you stand to your feet, my friends? I want to pray for you tonight. Lord, I thank you for this word. I believe that what has been shared is from you. God, I trust that you've spoken. I trust that you've moved. God, I pray that we would not shy away, Lord, from this conversation. Lord, I pray that we would walk in reverence, Lord, to you. That our heart would go from what can I get away from to God, you're my Father. You care for me. I don't want to hurt your heart. I don't want to live in separation, my friends. I have to tell you that all of this simply shows that God did not want to be separated from you. That you've been looking for love, but love has actually been looking for you, and love has come to you tonight. Jesus is here, my friends. He has stepped into your world, into this space, and he is offering you this living water. I feel very led to pray for a few things tonight. Number one, I want to start by praying for anyone in this room. Perhaps you're here for the first time. Perhaps you don't know Jesus. Perhaps you do, and you need to drop the bucket. You need to rededicate your life to Him. Perhaps there's been hidden sexual things that you've been engaging in or contemplating or carrying, and you would like the Lord to release that. You'd like to give that to the Lord. You'd like this living water that He speaks of. You'd like forgiveness and healing and maybe peace over your mind. If that's you, my friend, if that's you with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, would you just raise your hand? I just want to know who I'm praying for. Maybe a rededication. Thank you, Lord. I see it. Anybody else? You just need healing tonight? Just to drop the bucket, just to make a stand. I see your hand. Beautiful. Before we go any further, I want you to know, my friend, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That the Lord didn't show up to this woman and condemn her, but He invited her in. And you need to understand that condemnation is not of God. He will draw you in. He will convict the world, the Bible says, of unrighteousness, of sin, and He will convict them of righteousness, showing them the greater way, the higher way, the agape love of God. I just want you to know there's no condemnation in this space. So if you need the living water tonight, again, just raise your hand. I just feel like maybe there's another few people here. If you're online, just raise your hand where you're at. Even in your room, in your car, wherever you're at, I see you here in the room. In faith, I believe, seeing you online. If that's you, my friend, you need the living water. There's some things that you need to let go of, to drop the bucket. Just once more, just raise your hand. Come on, come on, come on. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I also feel led, I want to pray all together in just a moment. I also feel led that there are some of you in this room that are feeling very overwhelmed. There's either addictions that have formed or addictions that may be forming in regards to pornography. I got to tell you, my friends, I battled with it for years and years, but the Lord has healed me, and I've been healed for years now. Jesus is good. He's King. He can do it. Maybe you've tried all the passcodes and the people knowing, but maybe there's still a spider. Maybe there's a moment that you're still holding on to. If that's you, my friend, I just want you to be bold as well, with our eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want you to raise your hand. If you're struggling with that, you need just prayer over that. I want to pray for you specifically if there's battles with this area. If you don't feel confident to raise your hand, I still see you. I'm still going to pray for you. Yeah, come on, I see you. Thank you, Lord. I also feel led to pray for healing against trauma, about things that were awoken in you, things that maybe had happened to you. I know this may be maybe even traumatic or triggering for some, so I'm just going to just respect your privacy, respect the moment, and just give you a space to acknowledge this. You don't need to raise your hand, but I would like to just say, if that's you, would you just, in your heart, just say, yes, that's me, pray for me. I'm sorry that that happened. But friends, God is wanting to do some deep work tonight. I feel it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, my friends, would you all, whether you raise your hands or not, just believe that something will happen in this space. Would you all just either put your hands out toward those around you, just as we pray over each other, over this room? You can put them in the air. You can put them on your neighbor's shoulder if they're okay with that, just to lift our faith in this space, believing that God, your healing isn't just physical. You don't just heal ears and eyes and organs and abnormalities and diseases, but you can heal the heart. You can heal the unseen things. You can heal the things that we carry. You can heal, you can rewire brains, God. You can rewire and even synapses, God, and in our neurological frameworks, God, that you can literally heal, God. You can do it. You can do it. I just believe that God wants to heal the inner tonight. God wants to heal the hearts. I believe there has been things done against you. Maybe even rumors, maybe gossip, slander. I just want to pray this. This is going to be a collective prayer, but I want to start by asking the Lord to come back into your life. And so if you raise your hand for that, for the living water, say this out loud, church. Let's say it together. Say, dear Jesus, I've been looking for love. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm thirsty. I believe you came and met me, and that you're inviting me in. I believe that you're not here to condemn me, but to forgive me. And so, Lord, I believe in you. I believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that the power of the resurrection has the ability to change my life. I put my faith in the risen King, Jesus Christ. Please heal me. Please take this pain. Please take these addictions. Please take these ungodly desires and heal me. I give you my life. Please help me to live for you. Give me patience. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Give me a boldness to stand for you. I receive your living water. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Woo. I want to pray now for those who are struggling and who have been hurt. I want to pray a specific prayer over you so you can keep your eyes open, you can put your hands up. I want to pray this for you. Jesus Christ, I come before you by the power of your Holy Spirit, and I thank you, God, for every person in this room. God, I am angry, God, at the devil. I am angry for what he's taken from your people. I am angry for the lies, the perversion, the distortion of your goodness, your godliness, your holiness, God. We just call out that which is not of you, and we ask that it surrender to the name of Jesus. God, we ask that all fear, all addiction, all bondage, all chains be broken now by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would heal hearts that have been abused, heal hearts that have had things taken. You would heal those, God, who have been wandering and mistreated. God, I just ask that there would be healing and peace now, God, that when we wake up in the morning, we would not feel suicidal or depressed or anxious, but we would feel a newness of life, of energy, of excitement, of anticipation. God, that you are true, you are good, you are healer, you are provider, you are wise counselor, you are redeemer. I pray blessing over these people, Jesus, and I pray that the power of the enemy be broken in your name. I pray protection over our children. I pray protection over their minds. I pray protection over the teenagers in this space, God. I pray for those who are single. I pray for those who are married. I pray for those who are divorced. I pray for those who are waiting, Lord. I pray that you would remind them that you love them, you care for them, you have chosen them, you have stepped into their world, that you see them, you love them, and there is nothing, God, that would separate them from your love. I pray against every work of the evil one in the name of Jesus. I pray that the spiders be revealed and killed. I pray that now we would release things, God. I just feel, friends, release these things. Confess these things. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that if you confess your sins, that he is worthy, he is just, he is right to come in and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I believe it's a spring cleaning moment, my friends. We're gonna worship, we're gonna sing this song. Release things to the Lord. Release things. There is a healing anointing in this place now. There is a freedom in this place now. There is a chain-breaking presence of God in this place right now. And I pray, Father, we would not leave the same. We would lean into this moment. If you prayed that prayer, we'd love to know. As you take this step with Jesus, know that we are here to journey with you. For all of your next steps, you can head to tribesaustralia.com or you can head to the Tribes app. Thanks again for hanging out with us on the Tribes podcast. We pray you have a great day and we can't wait to see you next week.